Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just believe that with all my heart, brother, sister. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's here with us.
Amen.
Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to be here on this communion night. It's been far too long, but praise the Lord, we made it. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. I'll save those. I'll probably have a few announcements in the morning, some things, but I think we'll just save that. I don't think it's necessary right now. Are you happy to be a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate each one that pressed their way out. Communion really is, the prophet said, a showdown. Shows down really where you're at, where your faith is. What you believe has happened in your life will show up once you get to communion. And I feel bad for many souls, and I've even seen it in the message many times. They've been in the message years and years and years, can never have taken communion. This never seemed to make it. I know Brother Craig Boers, when we were going there, they always had communion on Sunday night. We had Sunday morning service, go out to eat, come back. Be about 5:30 by the time you got to communion. You know, you'd be about 7 by the time we got out of there. Go home. I had an hour drive home. So if you wanted to take communion, you had to actually want to take it. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it should be in a time that's not most convenient. It was when he did it the first time. It wasn't a real convenient time when they had communion the very first time. It wasn't a very pleasant thing. And it's not something that's to be done jokingly. It's not something that's to be done just to pass the time. It should be something that we give preeminence to.
Amen.
That we say we're doing this because it's more important than anything else I could be doing. And church ought to be that way. Praying and serving the Lord ought to be that way. Listening to what His Spirit says ought to be that way, brother,
Amen.
Sister. Amen. And that's why I trust you've come tonight to be a believer of what the Word really told us to do. And, Brother Branham even had to deal with it, that people didn't think they needed to take communion. He said, no, it's right there in the Scriptures. He said, it's a commandment that we ought to do these things. So we're here to fulfill the Word once again. Now, tonight, I'd like to take a little different angle. Couldn't really get away from Abraham, so we're going to go back a few chapters, back to Genesis 14. And if you know your Scriptures, you'll know what happened here. Like I said, just want to take a little bit different angle about communion. It just had me really stirred up this afternoon, this morning. And I pray it'll be a blessing to everyone that's here tonight. Amen. Genesis 14 and verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobab, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And one more real quick, let's flip over to Hebrews 7. Again, if you know your Bible, you'll know why we're turning to Hebrews 7. It's when Paul picks up this story that we just read there. At least I believe it was Paul who wrote Hebrews. I know some people got their ideas, but nobody else could have laid it out just like that.
Sure.
I believe that with all my heart, and I thank God for a message to tell us these things. Amen. Hebrews 7 and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. I'd like to preach this night on the victory supper.
Amen.
The victory Supper. Amen. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed and our hearts as well. Would you like to lift a need up to Him tonight as we approach His Word? God bless you, saints. Hold it now. Hold it specific. Bring it to the altar. He said, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you, brother, sister. Let your request be known unto God so He can answer you in the day of temptation. Hallelujah. Let's pray and invite the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for an opportunity to be in Your house and to be able to take our minds and our souls and to leave all the things of this world, Lord, all the responsibilities that happen here on earth and come and consecrate ourselves afresh to the purpose of God, to set our sights on things above and know that this world that is perishing isn't our home, Lord, but our home is beyond the skies. Our home will come down to earth and it'll change this place from the vile, wretched thing that it is now into the holy, pure kingdom of God, that new Jerusalem that we believe is our eternal home. And Lord, we come tonight to feast on Your Word, Lord, and to commune with Your Spirit. Lord, we pray, Father, that every vial of the enemy would be defeated by Your presence, Lord, that there wouldn't be a place for the devil to even distract us, Lord, but we'd be so centered on the Word that he'd be scared to come by this place. Lord, we yield our hearts over to the Spirit of God. We release all of our doubts, all of our fear, all of our confusion. Lord, we just release it and say, Father, fill me anew with a heart full of faith and love for Your Word. Speak to these people tonight, I pray. Speak to me as well, Father. Take away everything that's not like You and hear the heart's cry of Your people tonight. May they get the desire of their heart, which I trust is a holy calling from God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's nice when we've been studying on Abraham on Sundays, I can start just saying Abraham now. We've had the name change. I don't have to worry about being Abram no more. But I went back and you can tell, even in the New Testament, I made mention of this, that after Abram received his name changed to Abraham, God totally forgot he was ever Abram in the first place. He became Abraham. Hallelujah, brother, sister. And we read the story right here in Hebrews 7, where Paul picks up about when God, or Melchizedek, which we'll know is God here in a minute, but when Melchizedek met with Abraham, Paul didn't say he was Abram anymore. He said he met with Abraham. Why? Because that's who he really was, brother, sister. And I pray that tonight we've recognized by the Holy Ghost that God has come and given you an identification of who you really are. And it has nothing about what you used to be in this world. But He's taken that man. He's crucified him to His cross. He's destroyed him. He's gone. He's buried. He's been burned away by the power of God. And God has put a new name on us, brother, sister. And that is the only identification He's ever known you by. Glory to God. He doesn't remember when you were on a bar. He doesn't remember when you were doing drugs. He doesn't remember when you were cheating and lying and stealing. Hallelujah. He remembers what you were before that. Glory to God. Praise His holy name tonight. I pray that don't never become common to us, brother, sister. And what God has done for us in this day was the greatest thing any Christian has ever desired to happen, brother, sister, is what? To show who you really are. To break the seals, to break the veil between God and man and bring God and man back together again. Man wasn't made to be immortal like what we think decaying and limited and powerless. He was made to be a God on earth. He was made to be just like His Father. He was made to take dominion. He was made to be a ruler. Hallelujah! He was made to live in victory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. When we go to the story of Abraham here, or Abram back in Genesis 14, he said Abram had heard that his brother was captive. And I love how the Bible says he divided himself and his servants by night, and he smote them and pursued them. Glory to God. Sometimes, brother, sister, I think we just smite the devil. We forget to pursue him to make sure he cannot come back.
Amen.
We'll sock him real good in church. I'll tell you what, we feel great. We're praising the Lord. I ain't going to do that no more. And then we just stop pursuing.
Yeah.
And what does the devil do? Yeah, he got beat up. He knows it. But what does he do? He runs. He runs away and he goes back to your closet.
Yeah.
And he gets in the corner and puts some of the unbelief salve back on.
Yeah.
Said, well, I got to come up with something a little bit new. I mean, that kind of hurt a little bit. And he gets back in the game, don't he? And he comes back again. You let down the guard and said, well, I beat him in church good enough. And what happens? It comes back again, don't it? But see, this is the glorious part, brother, sister. And we could type it as a believer and a make believer and things. But really, what I want to type it out tonight is Abraham was what Christ was to us as Lot. Us sitting out there, should have been doing the right thing, caught in a mess of sin. And it took a real believer. It took a real Christ. It took a real person to chase down the enemy. Amen. And not just sock him once, but beat him till he's dead. Amen. And Abraham made sure that's what happened. He said he sought him. He smote them and pursued them. And what did he do after he killed the enemy? He made sure to bring back everything that used to be his. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. And I hope you're already being spiritual, but Christ has done the same for us, brother, sister. He knew that man, all the way back at Adam, had forfeited his right to the tree of life, forfeited his right to his possession as being the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. As having the earth as his dominion, that he could do with it as he pleases. He knows, God knew that that man had forsaken that and given it over to the devil. So when Jesus Christ came to defeat the devil, he didn't just beat him, he actually spoiled him. He made him look bad. Come on now, brother, sister. We got to quit giving the devil credit. He's good against you and I, but when you take the master's hand, he knows how to sock him right in the right jaw and bust it up. You find out the devil's got a real glass chin. It just bursts to pieces. You get a real hand one time. Come on, the problem is too many times we ain't got no victory to even hit him with. Woo, glory to God. Abraham didn't. We wait till we got victory to go get it. Right. We wait till we feel good. We wait till it's already over. No, you got to fight first, then that happens. Amen. Where did we get this idea in Christendom that we just have the victory and then we have fights? Right. The whole point of victory is something tried to take it from you. Amen. And you beat them. Amen. Glory to God. And the devil done whooped us all. Let's not lie to ourselves. We couldn't have done it. Nobody could. Men tried. Abraham looked like a pretty good fellow. Went out there and sold his wife off twice. Right. If Abraham would have had his way, there'd have been no Isaac. Right. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Right. Come on now. If Isaac would have had his way, he would have blessed Esau instead of Jacob. Right. Come on now. And if God wouldn't have let Jacob to be blind and just to trust his leading, he wouldn't have crossed his hands either. Come on, God knows what He's doing, and if we can't figure it out, we can't win the battle. Even Joseph, a prophet himself, said, Father, what are you doing? That's backwards. Not knowing the whole time God was typing out what He would do the rest of eternity. Show us the cross that took that blessing that was just to Israel and extended it over us as Gentiles. The cross is what made the change, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Abraham went, he smote, he pursued, and he brought it back. And Christ has done the same thing, brother, sister. He found the devil. He smote him at Calvary. He chased him down into hell. Amen. He went in all his places he could hide, and he went to find him. And what did he do? He didn't just go pursue him just to do it. He went back to take back what the devil had. Amen. The devil still had keys on the side. He had the keys of death. He could pull it out when he needed to. Isn't that right? He let him live on. He said, all right, this is it. And here it comes. And he'd get Moses. Right. Now, we know God came and took Moses anyways, but said, Lord rebuke you, Satan. You can't do nothing about this. I need him. Well, that's my right. No, devil, I'm sorry. You really don't have anything. All right. I just gave you a little bit until I'm done with you. Devil's just a tool in the hand of God, brother, sister. Amen. Otherwise, you got somebody who can actually beat God, and I don't believe that for a lick. No. God needed an enemy to be able to express himself. How many knows that? That's why sin's here in the first place, is for God to express who he is to us. Aren't you happy you know him? Yes. You know him, that he is the one that chased down the devil for me. He's the one that pursued him for me. He's the one that found those keys of death, hell, and the grave. Yep. Took him off his side and handed it to us. Amen. And what do? Instead of locking it to death, we take the same key and locking it back to unlocking eternal life. Amen. Amen. Remember, it's the same key. What's the key? The key of faith. Amen. Man just couldn't get to where he could really have faith that he could be a son of God again because he had sinned and lost his possession. So his faith was always misplaced. But now that we've had Christ come on the scene, raised from the dead, come on, defeat all principalities and powers, hand us the key, we can go back where we used to be. Amen. When God says a victory, we got to get a revelation that God is God. And that he knows all about it. He don't get a 99% victory. When he gets a victory, it's over.
Sure.
There will be no comebacks. There will be no, you know, Cinderella stories. It's done. You're gone. You're when he beat the devil in that ring, he didn't just get knocked out. He got killed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother, sister, when God has given us this victory, and I'll get to the supper, but the whole point of victory, we got to quit making it a partial deliverance. Victory to us is total deliverance.
Amen.
Victory to us is the devil ain't got nowhere to hide. He's defeated no matter where he goes. Wherever I am, victory resides. When the devil tempts me, it don't matter. I've already got the victory over it because Christ has won it for me.
Amen.
When my body tells me I'm sick, I don't need to be defeated. I've got victory over that. I've got victory over sickness.
Amen.
To tell my body, it's already won, devil.
Amen.
It's already won. You're sitting there trying to throw a jab. It's a late punch.
Yeah.
Match is over. You done lost.
Amen.
See, don't tell me the devil ain't going to try. The problem is he's a liar. He's a thief. He ain't going to play by the rules.
Amen.
He ain't going to do it the way you want him to. It's not fair you tempt me like that, devil. You know I have a trouble with that. It's not fair. And we sit there and negotiate with him. Instead of doing what we're supposed to do, is just go right back and say, wait a minute, why am I even fussing with you? The mat, you done lost. Just kick him off.
That's right.
That's right. You keep biting your ankles. Just keep kicking him. That's all it is, Christian friend. The problem is we drop down so fast from being a Holy Ghost-filled believer
right.
into just some person.
Amen. Right. Amen. That's right.
And we just drop down and think, well, I mean, it's just the way life is anymore. I mean, it is Laodicea. It's the darkest age. It's the darkest time. And then we forget the rest of the quote.
Right.
But it's the most glorious time
Amen.
For the church because God has given us so much more word to express.
Amen.
And how can we show total victory if there isn't a total opposition to be totally delivered from?
Amen.
Glory to God. Let every devil come out of hell. I've got something in my soul that's already beat all of them, that's already risen above it, that went down there and spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
Glory to God. 1959. Brother Branham preached a total deliverance. Let me read it to you now. I only got a few quotes, but they're longer. I wanted you to get the whole thing. It says that all Jesus' works was complete. Everything was complete. Total delivered. He totally delivered the leper from leprosy. He totally delivered the woman from the blood issue, from her issue. He totally delivered the world from sin when he died at the day of the atonement. He totally delivered every sin. He delivered the church. So there's no need for us to live underprivileged people. There's no need for us to live in a defeated state because he defeated the devil and took all the principalities and powers and subdued them under his feet. And they have no legal rights to rule over you. We are Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't have the devil dictate to us. Christ delivered us total deliverance. Delivered us from evil. Delivered us from sins. Delivered us from habits. Delivered us from talking. Delivered us from blackguard. Delivered us from all kinds of smutty things.
Amen.
He totally delivered us and put us in his holy hands. A complete, total deliverance.
Amen.
He delivered our sickness. He delivered us from sickness. For we have an abstract deed to that. Hallelujah.
Sure.
For he was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we are healed. He is our healer. That's why the poor little polioed woman trying to take care of a cancer dying husband. She walked into the realms of the presence of God. She had faith. The doctors had done all they could do. So she followed God's instructions and was totally delivered.
Amen.
The disciples had total deliverance. Absolutely total deliverance. Why? Because they were completely and totally filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When you just a church member and shook the pastor's hands or had some kind of a little experience of jumping and shouting or speaking in tongues or something or another and still have malice in your heart, strange acts, telling lies, smoking cigarettes, lusting after women, there's something hasn't happened yet. There's something wrong. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in him. You've been misled. By their fruits you shall know them. And let me skip down a little bit. He says, you say, well, Brother Branham, it's an awful temptation. But Christ died for that purpose. Amen. The devil is defeated. We want total deliverance. Amen. We want a church that's pure and clean and unadulterated and washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles. Exactly. Total deliverance, everyone. Exactly. Dear God, you don't take things unless it's totally delivered. Glory to God, brother, sister. Now we are the children of Abraham today. We are Abraham's seed, alive and well, all the way in 2016. Not just alive, but I'm alive and well. I'm doing great. I'm not subject to any principality or power of the devil. He spoiled it, brother, sister.
Amen.
You know what spoiled means? He made them look stupid. He beat them so bad, you don't even know why they made the match.
Uh-huh.
If you ever go, I don't know why I keep going to boxing. I don't know, maybe you guys all watch boxing a little bit or know enough about it. But you have those fights where it was ding, 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 done. Somebody goes, who set this up? That was so boring. That's what happened, brother, sister.
Yep, yep.
But see, here's the difference. You had the devil just wipe out man after man, no problem. He'd play around with them because, like I said, he's just a jokester. He's just a kidder. He don't care. So he'd play around with Moses for a while, and then he'd hit him with the sting of death. He'd go down. He did it with a while with David, and he snuck in that Bathsheba. I mean, knows that. Got him to sin. And then when death came, put him in the grave.
Right.
Then he tried that 1-2 on one man he shouldn't have even gotten a ring with. He tried it on Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And what did Jesus? He took that punch right in the face as hard as the devil could give it. He said, I got to give it all this time. And he got it and just didn't even move him.
Amen.
Can you see it now? That's what it means to spoil him. It means that there was no chance at all. There was no debating who won this fight. Brother, sister, why are we giving all the victory back to the devil then? When he's just a chump, he's a low life, and he got whooped so bad it was embarrassing.
Amen.
It's the same thing happened in the days of Joshua. When they went to overcome a place, they didn't have one man fall down.
That's right.
And the one time, they lost 16 out of who knows, a million men. They stopped everything and said, wait a minute. This ain't total deliverance.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I mean, I felt good on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But then I got to Saturday night. And something changed. What happened? See, that ain't right, brother, sister. You ought to have deliverance.
Amen.
We ought to have a total victory, brother, sister. Knowing that, and well, let me pull it to you out of the Bible. Let me. I keep quoting from it, kind of, but let me find it real quick. Colossians 2. And then we'll go to 1 Peter. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, let's just go to verse 9. It's talking of Christ, obviously. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Can we say all principality? All principality. Hallelujah. That includes everything the devil has. He's the head of all of it. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, which hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. You all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. Like I said, he just beat them so bad and he put it on every broadcast.
Right.
Look, I took on every pain. Jesus could say this. I took on every temptation the devil had, never sinned once.
Right. Amen.
I gave him 40 days. I didn't eat or drink.
Uh-huh.
Still couldn't get me to leave the Word.
Amen.
He brought me to the Garden of Gethsemane. When I recognized I had a choice to make, look, Jesus was just as much man as he was God.
Right.
He had to make a choice down in that garden.
That's right.
And that the revelation of that hour came upon him. But he knew I was born for this hour. This is why I'm here, brother, sister. Don't lose sight. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how much it looks like things falling apart. We were born for this hour.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Jesus began to pray to the Father. And he said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. And what did he do in the garden? He had to do it three times. And we can't pray 5 minutes. The Son of God had to go three times till he finally broke through. And we try to do it without breaking through. Don't you do that. Brother Branham said that many times. He said, don't go through the act and then get in the Spirit. He said, get in the Spirit, then do the act. Because then you know it ain't you acting no more. Because if we act, we're just actors. But if he acts, he's being who he is. He is God. Hallelujah. And he's supposed to live through us, brother, sister. We need to die to that old man. And Jesus there in the garden, he recognized what he had to do, and the devil put every temptation, I'm sure every thought came by, and then those thoughts became personified because here came Judas walking.
Yeah.
And it said immediately after, I love it, just the time it looked like we were about to fail, that's when the victory happened.
Sure.
He looked like he could have caved under the pressure, but right after he broke through the third time, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, Father. He said he prayed it three times. Then he went back to the disciples. He says, you're tired, just sleep on. Why? I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I don't care if they're coming with swords and staves, going to put me on a cross and beat me. I've already won. Glory to God, brother, sister. So when we look at the temptation, we look at the trials, we look at what the devil can present to us, if we could just get to that realm of total deliverance, it don't move us. Don't tell me it's just Jesus either. Paul got to this spot. He said, I've been in shipwreck. I've been trials with brethren and trying to keep this church straight. And everybody hating me, getting stoned, beat, shipwrecked. He said, but none of these things move me.
Amen.
Why? He lived in that realm of total deliverance.
Sure.
He lived in that place where he recognized, where he could look death in the face of death. Where is your sting? Grave, where is our victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And he took death by the rings and said, you do what I say. Amen. Glory to God. Don't tell me. We can do the same today. You say, I got a loved one. They've pronounced them dead. They don't care. Take the rings in your hands.
Amen.
Say, I've got power over that.
Amen.
Jesus did it for a guy who'd been dead 4 days. He had no problems taking the reins back over. Why? He lived in the realm of total deliverance.
Right.
He had been tested, he'd been tried, and he had overcome.
Yes.
In that garden, that's where he'd overcome before. He overcome the temptations. He overcome conforming to the Pharisees or Sadducees. He overcome having a family and leaving the calling of God. He overcome Pilate's scapegoat to get out of it without taking the cross. Isn't that right? He escaped the temptation that came through Peter. It says, you'll never die. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He passed every test. And in the garden, he finally overcome to where it didn't matter what was going to happen. He was going to stay through the Father's word. Why? Because I believe the angels came and they strengthened him. How did they strengthen him? They showed him the joy that was set before him.
Sure.
They showed him that not only can you have this total victory, but if you overcome today, all the children of God will inherit the same victory.
Amen. Amen.
He counted the cost and he recognized his own suffering was worth our salvation.
Sure. Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yes, and brother, sister, he is our Savior. We're never to be called the Savior. He is the Savior.
Amen.
But he has made us like him. He has put a same desire in our hearts for our loved ones.
That's right.
And too many times we're not willing to do the struggle to get the victory.
Amen.
We're not willing to be embarrassed that, you know what? Our relatives don't believe like we do. Our relatives are going to think that you're a racist or a bigot or whatever foul word. They're going to think that's what you are. But if you'll just stay with the Word, stay the salt of the earth, after a while they get so thirsty they got to get a drink.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Say, Father, I believe that I'm sent for that purpose.
Amen.
I'm not the Messiah. Make sure you understand that. But I am a Messiah. I am a part of that Messiah. I'm the same life of that Messiah still alive today by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. Just before the devil comes and tries to push over into fanaticism, he is the Lord and Savior.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, your God is one God, one Lord. There's no one else rules heaven besides him. But where are we? But where are we, Christian friends? You say, he overcame. Yes, but where am I? I'm in him. And when he put all principalities under his feet, it says, I'm already in him. So where he is, there I am.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he spoiled principalities and powers, I was in him when he did it.
Amen.
And I've already spoiled him.
Amen.
Christ is still doing it today. How? He's alive in every one of the hearts of a believer.
Amen.
How is this possible? Because when God sent his son to chase down the devil, he made sure he found every spot he was at. And like I said, he even went down to hell. And I'm just going to quote real quick. It's 1 Peter 3:18. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Aren't you grateful?
Amen.
That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit.
Amen.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When once in the long suffering of God, in the long suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So to bring this back around now, do we understand what victory really means? That means there ain't a Philistine left. There ain't a motive still there. Too many times we get a complex and think we're allowed to hold part of it. I'm justified in this part because I remember what they did 10 years ago. Nope, you ain't delivered.
Amen.
You're just dealing with it. And too many times that's what we do. We just deal with it. And it's such a shame, you know, how many times we suffer wrong if we would just take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
We sing that song all the time, don't we? Just take it to the Lord in prayer. How many times do we struggle just because we want to deal with it? Why do you want to deal with it? Why are you letting the Philistine live? Just grab the rock, hit him in the head, and watch him die.
Amen.
You say, how can I do that? Well, really, let God come on the scene.
Yeah.
Fill you again, because obviously you got emptied somewhere.
Uh-huh.
To where your vision can come back, that your enemy is already whipped, dead, and in the grave.
Amen.
And everything he's trying to attack you with is a deception. Amen, brother, sister.
Yes, sir.
He looks big, but I'm going to tell you, he's just a big blow-up man.
Yep.
You stab him once with the sword of God's word, he blows up to nothing.
Amen.
It's true. How many can say that's true?
That's true?
Hallelujah. When you stop making excuses, stop glorifying him, and say, you know what? God lives in me.
Amen.
And when Jesus had a temptation, he didn't have to succumb to it. And you begin to say, you know what? I'm just going to praise the Lord and do what God said. You don't even remember what you were tempted by.
Amen.
Glory to God. When the devil comes and said, oh, you know what that brother did? You ought to hate him.
Yeah.
You have a right to hate him. And you know what? You might. But that ain't what the Lamb of God does.
Right.
The Lamb of God don't use his rights for himself. He lays them down so he can be a servant to all.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad to be a Christian, brother, sister.
Amen.
Because you know what? Even if we didn't have a resurrection, it's still the best way to live.
Yeah.
It's true. It's a lot better than going down the road of the devil and getting so drunk you die of an overdose or whatever, and drugs, and having 10 illegitimate children with a bunch of women don't even love you. Come on. You show me any other conclusion to this age the way they go now. That's the only thing they ever end up with. We're to the point now where I don't even think half of marriages ever last. And I think they're even starting to not even worry about it lasting forever. They're trying to just find ones that last 10 years. Because there's no point in looking at ones that last until death, because it just don't seem to happen no more. And brother, sister, God has sent you and I as real believers to preserve what's the truth behind all them things. What's the truth of a real God-given marriage? You know what? It ain't all flowers and goodness and grace. It's a lot of grace in the midst of all kinds of disgrace. And all kinds of bad attitudes and things that's wrong. What'll break up a home is forgetting that we need total deliverance from this.
Amen.
A lot of times a man or a woman, vice versa, don't matter. The devil will just get some thought in your head about your spouse. Before you know it, you hate their guts and you don't even know why.
Right.
And then they'll do some, and then you'll say, well, you did that because you just don't like me. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Don't tell me it just don't happen to Brother Andrew now. It's happened to all of us, and we do it sometimes with a brother.
Yeah.
Get all bent out of shape about somebody, act all funny around them. We try to like I said, put up with it and say, well, I got to hug his. I mean, come on, brother. So, I mean, I'm supposed to do this. Man, I really just can't stand this guy, but that ain't deliverance, man. That's putting up with it. And there's times where you got to put up with your flesh enough to tell it to shut up.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm not saying you got to feel like it. That ain't what we're talking about. That ain't nothing. We're in a whole different realm than feelings.
Amen.
Deliverance don't say your feelings are going to agree all of a sudden. That's another good thing we've come up with, total deliverance. I don't have no bad thoughts about this. I don't feel bad about it. I don't hate nobody. I don't never feel like I should back talk. That's real. That's when I know I'm really delivered. No, it's when those things come and they don't move you at all.
Right.
And you say, no, I'm not doing that, Satan, because that's who it is. He'll talk just like you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got a good argument. Anybody ever just sat there and run the argument through your head? Hate to break it to you, that's you and the devil having a conversation.
Yes, amen.
He talks a lot like you, don't he?
Right.
Because you already know before you started having that conversation with yourself, which is the devil's spirit, the word already done told you what you're supposed to do about it.
Right.
You already knew the revelation. You shouldn't even be thinking about it. And you know you shouldn't be thinking about it. You know you're losing sleep over it. But you believe that somehow if I think through this enough, I can figure out how I can make them look real bad, make me look real good, and feel better about this. Oh, and I'm a delivered Holy Ghost-filled Christian. No, you ain't. You in a cage.
Yes, right.
A cage of your own demise.
Yes.
Not a cage that God put on you. Not even one that the devil put on you. You made this one up yourself. I'm convinced, Brother Bram says it too, that many times the devil just sits back and watches us and says, man, that was a really good idea. You're right. That caused a lot of problem.
Right.
Hallelujah. Paul said it this way. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things do not edify.
Right.
Because he even remembered the dispute that they had was before about eating things, or about circumcision, what it really was. And whether we ought to be circumcised in the flesh or not. But it led into, like, well, what should we tell the Gentiles to do? Well, he said, well, just to make sure that the Jews aren't offended that do believe there, don't eat things strangled and things sacrificed to idols. Then Paul came around. People think he disagreed, but he didn't. The point was he wasn't in Judea. He was in a different country. That's right, where it didn't really matter to them. Because he said, I understand, this is just a dumb idol. It's a piece of wood. It's not a god. I know they sacrifice to it, but I'm hungry. I'm not giving thanks to that. And before you think that you don't do the same thing, where'd your sandwich come from?
Right.
Where did our super cheap foods coming from?
Right.
Just think about it. We spend $1 on a sandwich that has bread that came from some grain somewhere, from a cow, part cow anyways, I hope, from somewhere. And again, cheese that came from hopefully some milk of some cow somewhere. And then they brought it all together, put some fixings on it, and put it in a wrapper, paid somebody to press the buttons and hand it to you, and it cost $1.
Right.
So that's getting sacrificed to an idol somewhere. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because somebody's getting paid about a penny a day to make those things.
Yeah.
That's what it really boils down to, brother, sister. It's still sacrificed to idols. But anyways, the point being, Paul said, look, when I'm with these others here, they don't care about that. Nobody thinks anything of it. So I do it because I understand I have a revelation. I'm not a weak believer. I understand that idol is nothing, and I'm receiving it as from the Lord. He went to those disciples who had a monument, remember, or Mars Hill, I believe, and said, to the unknown God. He said, him. He acknowledged, you are trying to worship the right God. You just don't know him yet.
That's right.
He said, no, I'm okay to get down here and worship with you. I just know who I'm worshiping.
Right.
You don't. Some message people can't do that. They can't go to a different church that might worship a little different than we do.
Right.
Right.
They said, oh, I just can't handle it. They got drums. I can't worship when there's drums. See, you're making it form instead of revelation. And he said, but what did he say? He said, though, but he said, if I was with a brother that would be offended by that, he said, I'm not going to use my liberty to put a stumbling block in front of somebody that I know will be offended by that.
Right.
And I'll just avoid the whole thing altogether, and I won't even worry about it. I'll just get my meat somewhere else because I know the Lord provide. He said, why? Because that's a soul that Christ died for. And if he ain't delivered, we ain't got total deliverance yet. He said, why would I put a stumbling block on purpose? Us message people, oh, I'll tell you what, when we got the revelation, when we figured out how Christmas really is, we just lay it out to everybody.
Right.
I know you're going to be offended, but it's the truth, brother. You better suck it down.
Yeah.
instead of doing what Paul said, what Brother Branham would have said, which is just let it go. Let, you know, God will give us a revelation and things when we need it. Christmas is one of them. I saw a minister that's got this page, and some, I think he added me to it, is what it is. I gotta learn to quit letting that happen on Facebook sometimes. Why is that a thing? Why can't they just add you to any group they want? You know, I might get associated, who knows? And this is what I said, the devil gets such a hold of that. He can inspire somebody to add me to some provocative thing. And before I can get to and get rid of it, some believer finds it and says, this minister, look at this. Hallelujah. That's why we can't put faith in. Don't ever judge a man by what he puts on Facebook, right?
That's right.
Because who knows if he did it or not. I had one time where it said I shared something about just a big old blown up picture of a woman's backside. I said, I did not share that. I don't know what happened, and I got rid of it the second it happened. Amen. Anyways, this brother put on there about, and he's obviously married interracially, but he gets on there about how he's got it figured out. It's perfectly okay. Don't matter what Brother Bram said. And I'm not here to even argue right now. I don't care. The point is, he presents it as if it's an open argument to talk back and forth about, but he says, but I already got a revelation. Then let it go, dude. You do you. Hallelujah. And let it go wherever it needs to go. God didn't send a pastor to pastor the world. He sent His Son to pastor the world.
Amen.
He sent the Spirit to lead every one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. Did I put some idols in front of you today and sacrifice? I hope I did. And I hope you're not offended to walk out the door on me. Hope we got grace to say, you know what? Those things, if there's not an absolute to it, we have to just let it go.
Yeah, sure.
We get a revelation here in this church. I'm here to tell you right now. It's for us. How we run things, that's for us. Will it bring deliverance to us? It better. If it brings bondage, we got the wrong spirit again.
Amen.
Because we're to live in total deliverance. When we've got a, if we've got a church service dictating a way where we don't praise the Lord no more, we're wrong. When we got a service that doesn't get the sick healed, we're doing something wrong. So the proof is in the pudding. If the Spirit of God don't come and bring liberty like He promised, total deliverance...
Yep.
We're doing it wrong.
Amen.
Y'all getting a free sermon tonight. I thank the Lord, though, because it's the truth, brother, sister. And if the people in the message would quit worrying about that and actually portray what this message has brought to us, we wouldn't be called a cult so much.
Yep.
The devil will still call you that, but you understand, they'll at least know that you believe because you can point to something.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why are we talking about victory tonight? It's because when you go back to Genesis 14, and I'm done with the rabbit trail. We're gonna nail this down. And Abraham had come back from the slaughter of the kings. I like how it uses the word slaughter. Not just the beaten. Not just, you know, vanquished. No, they're slaughtered. He took care of all of them with 318 men. Come on now. What can he do with a believer? Filled with the Holy Ghost. He came back, who met him but God Himself? God came down in the form of a man and met with his son inheritor to have a meeting. What was the meeting about? Why did He serve bread and wine? It's because we know, and I'll read the quote here in a minute, He was giving him communion. Why was He getting the communion? Because the victory had been won. They were having a rejoicing at their communion. And brother, sister, now we think many times, well, then how can we approach communion in more of a reverential way? And that's true. You have to. Why? You got to make sure you got the victory first. You can't have a victory supper if you don't have the victory. And that's what Paul says. We're going to read it in 1 Corinthians 11. He says we need to judge ourselves so we know we're not condemned with the world. So we know that when we take the bread and the wine, we are actually taking the symbols that we are saved. That the victory has been won. That the blood that was shed, the body that was crucified, has redeemed my soul back to God. And I now am eating this in remembrance that I have the victory.
Amen.
Glory to God that the sin that used to dominate my life has no power no more.
Amen.
The sin that used to keep me in a bottle of unbelief, keep me away from praising the Lord and from loving on Him and from being in that heavenly place in Christ Jesus. I've been stripped of all those things and I've been given the glory of God again by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And that's why it says, that's why He talks about His body being broken and then His blood. The body is the physical part. He laid that down so that our physical part could be redeemed as well.
Amen.
But he also laid down the blood, which we know inside the blood is the Spirit of God, which was the eternal life.
Amen.
Glory, he laid that down to redeem our eternal life as well.
Amen.
Many times people think, well, it's the same thing. You know, he's showing he redeemed all of us. That's why we're going to come back in a resurrection with a new body.
Amen.
That it's mortal in the sense that you can feel it and touch and handle, but it isn't in the sense that it has sin and it's decaying and dying. It's immortal.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm not going to be some little puff cloud over there. I'm going to go and I'm going to feel great. I'm going to be a human still and I'm going to give you a hug just like I always did. Hallelujah. I don't know if any other pastor does it, but I still hug the brothers. That's right. And I believe we ought to. When Brother Branham crossed the curtain of time, what did them brothers do? They all ran up and hugged him.
Amen.
Now look, and he did say why. He said the women over there hugged him too, but he said, I wouldn't have done that here. He said, because there was no more bound of sin.
Amen.
There was no more knowledge of sin. It was all gone. He said, those were my sisters indeed.
Yeah.
It was just like you running up and hugging your sister.
Right.
But even beyond that, like a relationship beyond any sort of temptation, there is no temptation.
Right.
Glory to God. It is the realm of complete, total deliverance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what our souls are longing for, brother, sister. Those that's received the Holy Ghost, you're longing. What are you longing for? For a body that doesn't even have temptation. For a body that doesn't have a passing thought. For a mind that literally is only the mind of Christ and there's nothing ever to come combat it.
Amen.
But now we have the down payment.
Yes.
But now we have all the evidence that we have it there.
Amen. Yes.
Sure. Woo! Glory! I don't know. When I heard this message, I just believe I heard my theophany.
Amen. Right.
And when I get to where I can get to thinking, that's me. There is a body there waiting on me. That's the real. There is a temple made without hands that God fashioned. That it probably looks like me in some way, but I bet it's a lot more handsome. I hope so. Anyways, we might need a little bit of work, but. I don't, as much as it looks, it don't matter. I'm just glad I know my heart. He's fashioned perfectly like his.
Yes.
My mind fashioned perfectly like his. And right now, in our souls, we have that payment resting in us.
Sure.
Of total victory. Of total deliverance. And that's why we come to communion. That's why we pray through first. And I do that here. Now, again, that's something we do. Ushers don't do that. That ain't a big deal. We do it because I just believe that that's something to do to make sure when you take communion, you're not coming up here just taking it because somebody else is. You're taking it because I got the victory.
Amen.
You got the victory. You recognize I've died, but I'm alive in Christ.
Amen.
And I'm holy enough to take his body and eat it.
Uh-huh.
Woo! To take his blood and drink it.
Uh-huh.
That's what he said. He said, my body is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Glory to God. We know this ain't the literal body that's on the right hand waiting to come back and take us home here soon. But we are literally part of that, just the same. Let me read this out of Who is Melchizedek. You know, it's really good when you've read the message a few times. You might know where the pastor's going sometimes. Amen. But I probably listened to Who is Melchizedek probably at least a dozen times. So it's one of the first thoughts that came to me when I started studying. It says this. Now notice, after the battle was over, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that. Part of himself. Now we want to type here in view the communion. After the battle, he gave of himself because the communion is a part of Christ. And after the struggle is over, come on now, after you've done, got yourself whipped out, then is when you partake of Christ and become part of this being. You get it?
Amen.
Jacob wrestled all night. Wouldn't turn him loose until he blessed him. That's right. Battled for life. And after the battle is over, then God gives you of himself.
Sure.
That is his true communion.
Amen.
The little bread and wafer just represents it. You shouldn't take it unless you've wrestled it out and become part of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it, and I believe it's key to the door. Communion is only for born-again believers. Because
right.
If you're not born again, you're not part of it yet.
Right.
That's right. You've got to know you're a real believer. Do we already lose the victory?
No.
Devil already come back and tell you what you did yesterday and you're not really a believer no more?
No.
Just making sure he ain't talking to none of y'all. Remember at this time, let me keep reading, the communion had never been instituted. Not until before the death of Jesus Christ. hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. But Melchizedek, after his child had won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet him in the heavens and take the communion again. It'll be the wedding supper. I will not drink up no more of the vine or eat of the fruit until I eat it and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. Is that right? Notice again, Melchizedek went to meet Abraham before he got back home. What a beautiful type here we have. Melchizedek meeting Abraham before he got back home after the battle. We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. Hallelujah. That's right. 2 Thessalonians tells us that we'll meet him in the air. A beautiful type of Rebecca meeting Isaac in the field in the cool of the day. We'll meet him in the air. 2 Thessalonians tells us so. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect, all these types. Therefore the theophany, if you have died, entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to earth and picks up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you go. And caught up to go meet the Lord in the air. Who is this Melchizedek but God? Amen. Now we see here plainly the complete scene of our lives and journey and death and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here.
Amen.
Glory to God. Turn with me. Got a few scriptures I want to close on. 1 John 5. And then I want to go to Revelations. 1 John 5. Verse 4. 1 John 5. Verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God. You've been born again tonight?
Amen.
That's why you're here to take communion. Isn't that right? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Hallelujah. And that's in the book of Revelations 2. Turn over there to chapter 12. Revelations 12 in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
Woo! And they loved not their lives even to death. And you can keep reading. This is talking about the resurrection, because at that point, all the powers that the devil even fakes to have are gone, brother, sister. When we hit that resurrection morning, come on now, and get up there in the air with all them other saints, what happens? The devil that's been up there trying to accuse us day and night is cast down.
Amen.
And he tells you, read the next verse, he says, heavens rejoice, because your accuser's been cast down. But those on the earth, you better beware, because he's coming for you. And he knows he's only got 3.5 years, and he's going to come bite every limb he can. That's right. But aren't you glad right before that happens, we've got total victory.
Yeah.
We've got so much victory. As Paul said, death will be swallowed up in victory. When he talks about the resurrection, he says that's the final stepping stone to prove to the devil he was defeated totally, 100% from Genesis to Revelation, totally wiped out by what happened at Calvary.
Amen.
Otherwise, why are we still here, brother, sister? Why are we still here? To prove to the devil that, look, that God could say, I've restricted you in other ages. Sure, I let you come after my son. But you use the same excuse anybody else does when they want to make an excuse for sin. Well, I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. Come on now. The devil could have said the same thing. Said, well, of course he beat me. He is perfect. But let me get a hold of them. Let me get a hold of them end time believers. He said, you know what? All right. You know what? I'll even double down on it. I'm going to open up the river Euphrates. And I'm going to send out everyone you got. I dare you to get them off the word. So when you go home tonight, and here come that devil. He's going to. I'm going to tell you that right now. And say, oh, yeah, you've got the victory, but you're just going to have to. There ain't no point in praying tonight. You're just too tired. You already went to church. It's good enough. We got to quit living a good enough religion. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't have a good enough attitude when he got to the cross. I'm glad we had a prophet that didn't say good enough and deal with the denominations like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts did. That's true, brother, sister. They compromised. They sure did. Every man that goes into a denominational system, a true man of God that goes into that has compromised. Amen. Only the men that will stay pure are the ones that aren't compromising. Because that is not God's system. That is the devil's system. And when Christ shed His blood, it wasn't to segregate one little group to Himself. It was for anyone who'd believe it. It was for the whole world. He didn't redeem just the bride. He redeemed the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He comes to us in this last day. Even the last sermon we can read from. What did Brother Branham preach? Communion.
Yep.
And He showed us, what's it really about? It is showing His death and resurrection. Absolutely. But the world can somewhat recognize that. What do we see that they can't see? Is that this has happened not just because we're little sinners and God made His way to have a little pity on us and hopefully get us back. No, it's a victory supper. It's a dinner that we have knowing He has spoiled all principalities and powers. He's taken the veil off and I can see I'm just eternal as God is. I'm just as much, I was always a son of God. I'm not bound by the devil no more. I never really was.
Amen.
I've got the victory. I've got total victory.
Amen.
When sickness comes, I'm taking this as a memorial. I'm healed.
Amen.
Hey, when depression comes, I take it as a memorial. I've already got happiness. What are you talking about? I got joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
What is glory? Do you know what glory is? Glory is you used to be down here, and the glory is that you've been changed to be something new. We're full of glory. We came from the lowest of lows, I understand, brother, sister, but we're so full of glory because we went so high. We're past angels.
Amen.
That's right.
We went right into Christ Himself. We went right into the throne. We went as the Queen of Heaven. How could we do it if it wasn't total victory?
That's right.
Hallelujah. How many appreciates the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I just feel that victory flowing through my veins. How do you know you have it? It's your faith.
Yes.
How can I demonstrate I have it? The word of your testimony.
Yes. Amen.
So it gets it all covered. Yeah, you got to have it in your heart first. I agree 100%. But if it just laid there, you ain't getting a victory yet.
Amen.
He said, by the blood of the Lamb. I understand, brother, but that's all you got. You ain't just there yet. There's an and right there.
Yes.
Needs to become. All of that, the faith that God has put us, the blood to take sin away, becomes a product that comes out of your mouth. What is it? The word again. The word of testimony.
Yes.
The word that comes on the scene and not only says, I believe I'm healed, but makes you healed.
Amen.
Glory to God. Not the one that says, I believe I'm saved, but it changes your heart. It proves, oh my, this man, this woman is saved. The things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The way I used to love things is totally gone. I couldn't care less about that anymore. Now I've been changed. My affections have been set on high. It's evidence, it's proof. I'm one of His. I'm one of the King's sons. I'm not a little pauper that the devil can push around. He ain't got no business with me, really.
Right.
Hallelujah. The whole life that we have here is just the God giving the devil another beating in the end day, in the end times. That's right. And this time, he's going to get beat by a girl. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, feel free to worship Him, brother, sister. Express your victory. Express a total victory tonight. Your flesh don't mean anything. We don't need to listen to it. Hallelujah. I'm going to put you in F tonight, Daddy. Hallelujah. Just a little chorus. I'm not sure if we know it exactly, but it's pretty simple. 448, there's never been a day like this day.
Never been a day like this day. I see there's never been a day like this day. I see there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glory
as this day.
This glory.
Oh, our victory day. Aren't you happy? Give Him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord.
There's that.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Been a day like this day.
Plays that. Hallelujah. Just an atmosphere of prayer. Is there any you'd like to come forward with a need on your heart? And say, Lord, I believe you tonight. And I'm gonna come claim my victory. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's sin, maybe it's guilt or shame. Hallelujah. Just come as simple as you know how. Say, Lord, I'm coming to get the victory. I'm coming because I believe I've got the victory, Lord. And your word said if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And Lord, I'm applying that to my life now. It's not Brother Andrew's hands holy. It's not that even me in my state is holy. It's that a holy God has come, has shed His blood, has poured it upon us, taken away our reproach, filled us with His Spirit, and invited us back to His kingdom. That's what makes us holy, Lord. And as God's minister tonight, I believe He sent me. He's given these holy hands. You say holy, Brother Andrew. He sent these holy hands for you, which are His hands extended through a vessel. The Master coming, living in the hearts of His children, extending His hand of mercy back out to you. The same one that took a woman that had an issue of blood and made her well is coming tonight to touch you again. The one that took a leper and took away all of his spots coming to you tonight. The one who took a prostitute and in a matter of minutes made her a saint. He's coming to deliver each one that's here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask if you're coming forward, go ahead and come all the way up here and file out, make kind of a line across the pulpit here. Make it as easy as possible. Is there anyone else? That's fine. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And I do feel led just to lay hands on today. Because it's not really important what your problem is, since I believe we're recognizing what our victory is. But once you recognize the victory that you have, the problem becomes so secondary. Just, Lord, let my faith believe that promise, and everything else falls away. Lord, even in my heart as a Christian, let me seek first the kingdom tonight and His righteousness, and I know all these things be added to me. Look at that. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you after I lay hands on you. Oh, glory to God. I do want you tonight to go back to your seat and to lift up in victory. Say, Father, today I'm putting the stake down right here that my desire is met by your word. That the victory that Melchizedek gave to Abraham, the same Lord Jesus is here tonight giving me the same victory. And I come believing it with all my heart. God bless you, saints. Hallelujah. Believe it with all that's in you as we lay hands on each one. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight, brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, my brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight, sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need tonight, sister. Oh, glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, sister, receive your need tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, brother. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, sister. Amen. Give Him praise now. Lift your voice to Him. Say, Father, I believe it with all my heart. I lift my soul up to you, free of sin, free of shame. free of condemnation, free of sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I sing praises to you. A heart full of faith. Oh, yes, Lord, a heart full of victory. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. There's never been a day like this. Let's sing it one more time all together.
Oh, there's never been a day like this day.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Do you feel that victory just pulsating in your soul? I am more than an overcomer.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was called for a purpose. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I've got victory over sin and shame. Hallelujah. And this truly is a glorious day that I live in. It, even in the midst of Satan's Eden, it's still a glorious day because I'm in the church without spot or wrinkles. Glory to God tonight. Well, as we change the order of the service, hallelujah, I'd like to go into communion if we could. And while you're still standing, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. I do appreciate each one that came out to the house of God tonight. It's a testament already of your faith, which I pray has now just grown and grown as the service is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. With all the sincerity you can muster, let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and starting in verse 23. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he had was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and or eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen.